Well, Alabama, Arkansas, I do love my ma and pa, but not the way that I do love you. Well, holy moly, me oh my, you're the apple of my eye. Girl, I've never loved one like you. Man, oh man, you're my best friend. I scream into the nothingness. There ain't nothing that I need. In hot and heavy pumpkin pie, chocolate candy, Jesus Christ. Girl, nothing pleased me more than you. Our home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Our home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. I'm Dean Sharp, the house whisperer, custom home builder, custom home designer, here with you live like I am every weekend, Saturdays from 6 to 8, Sundays from 9 to 11. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our fine program. What's it all about? I'm here to help as an advocate, a mentor, and a friend, helping you build yourself a more beautiful home, a more beautiful life, and helping you to do it more affordably and more artfully than you ever imagined. We are talking about emergency backup power today. Let's dive back in, shall we? Because it's a big topic. Let's knock off the Rolls Royce of emergency power setups for your home. That would be an array of solar battery backups. And there are several out there. I just want to talk about the most efficient, or I would say the best one on the market, which right now is the Tesla Powerwall. I don't believe there's any solar battery backup that has more power in it and more capacity or more functionality than the Powerwall. So I'm just going to use that as the gold standard to have this conversation. Know that there are slightly less expensive batteries out there, but we need to talk about backup batteries as a whole, and so I'm just going to use the Powerwall as our example, as our guinea pig here. The average U.S. household uses about 30 kilowatt hours of energy per day, 30, okay? The Tesla Powerwall can deliver, I believe, currently, the latest version, 13.5 kilowatts of capacity. So what does that mean? It simply means that if you purchase two Tesla Powerwalls and you have them linked together, you could pretty much run your home for an entire day with nothing but battery support and live life as per usual. But here's the thing, a couple of caveats. Number one, as of January of this year, the total cost of installing a Tesla Powerwall battery is give or take around $12,000. So yeah, that's a thing. Now, if you already have a solar system, if your solar system was built battery ready, which by the way, if you're getting solar, you should absolutely have your system built battery ready. That could reduce some of that install cost. The battery itself is around $8,000 or $9,000, and there are programs and tax incentives, rebates to bring it down a little bit, but still, the install is the balance of that. If you're doing two at the same time, which you know is the equivalent of buying an inexpensive car, then you're not going to double the install cost, so you'll save some money there. The Tesla Powerwall has a built-in inverter. An inverter is something that changes the kind of power that it releases, which is direct current, into AC, which is what alternating current, which is what your home runs off of. Here's what's important. Instead of just knowing that the Tesla has a 13.5 kilowatt capacity, you need to know what its actual output is. At any given time, at any given moment, It has a 5 kilowatt output. That's 5,000 watts. So they basically a solar, the world's best residential solar backup battery has the power output equivalent of a 5,000 watt generator. A 5,000 watt generator, now noisy as it may be, can be purchased for $700, $600. All right. The Powerwall, as I said, is about 12,000. So why in the world, Dean, would we do this? Well, it has some distinct advantages that go beyond the blackout. Number one, if you have a backup battery hooked into your system correctly, it's helping with your energy costs every single day. It's actually running some appliances every evening as you start to drop off. So you're saving energy there. It is starting to kick on and do time of use backup power in the late afternoon when energy prices are at their highest. So it's saving you money there. And of course, it's straight up backup power. And of course, it's silent. Number two, it kicks on automatically, seamlessly. So there's no fuss or muss for you to deal with. And it recharges itself. And so its fuel supply is that big orange ball up in the sky. And so as long as the sun is shining, you know, without having to worry about another fuel source, it is going to keep regenerating. And that is why it is the, you know, the Rolls Royce of the backup power world. But not without its Achilles heels and difficulties, right? Most of which are cost. The California Self-Generating Self-Generation Incentive Program, SGIP, one of the best incentives for homeowners who want to buy solar batteries for their home. It cuts the cost of the battery by, on average, about a third. So it helps, right? It takes a ding out of it. And it depends on who you are, where you live, what kind of system that you've got, but it's worth going and checking out. So California Self-Generation Incentive Program. Check it out if you're thinking about doing a solar backup battery. All right, that is the solar battery story, essentially, for your home. Decent output, 5,000 watts. That means you can have several things going at the same time. But on a single battery, by the way, if you're just buying one battery, that's not going to likely be enough guts to like get the AC system and the electric oven all cranking at the same time. Okay, you would need more than one, not because of its overall energy storage capacity, but because of its moment-to-moment output. So that's something to think about. Now we turn to the generator story. A generator is essentially a motor that is producing electricity. And as we've talked about, there's a lot of confusion in regards to them. We basically are going to cover three. The permanent backup generator that you can have installed over by your electrical panel, essentially, that will, again, automatically kick on when the power goes out. We're going to talk about that next. Those run off of natural gas, which is great because there's an endless supply until there's not. And so wildfires and random wind outages, that is a safe bet. The power goes down, but the natural gas supply does not get shut off because why would it? Earthquakes, different story. Sometimes in an earthquake, the first thing that goes down is the gas supply, at which point your backup generator ain't going to do you much good. So things to think about. We will dive into the whole house backup generator and its portable cousins when we return. So glad you joined me this morning. So much more to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, at your service. So glad you joined me this morning. We're talking about emergency backup power. You caught us right in the middle of the conversation, but please join in. I'm up to whole house backup generators. This is the as kind of the generator partner the other side of the coin from solar backup batteries, which is also a whole house solution built in, integrated into the home, turns on automatically, and life resumes as normal. Whole house backup generators are designed to do the exact same thing. They are not a battery. They are a generator. There's a motor out there running. They have a battery. That's what helps them get started right off the bat. That battery stays charged all the time off of the grid when the grid is up and running, which is all the time. And then they kick on when the blackout is detected. Whole house backup generators these days run primarily off of natural gas. They get tied into your gas line system. There are some out there that have gasoline tanks fed, and they can be adapted to run off of propane also. If you're in a rural area and you've got a big propane supply tank instead of a natural gas supply from the municipality. Sorry, couldn't get that one out. So like I said, they are great because they're going to be professionally installed. Now, what's the cost? Well, the cost can range, and really all depends on how big of a generator you're getting and your specific situation. But you can expect the cost to be somewhere between, let's say, $4,000 and $6,000 for a residence. I'm just giving you a gross shooting from the hip. Between $4,000 and $6,000. That's not cheap, but it's at least half the cost of the solar backup battery. So you see, we've taken a big jump down in cost to give you a seamless integrated solution for the house as well. Now, what is the Achilles heel? Because everything has one. The Achilles heel is it's a natural gas-driven generator, and if in an earthquake, for instance, the gas goes off for a certain period of time, then so does your generator. And so you don't have backup power if you don't have natural gas flowing to the house. But all things being equal, everything else, storms, wind storms, heavy rain storms, fire outages, all of that kind of stuff, the stuff that typically would not affect natural gas supply to your house, then it is a solid, solid solution. There are a lot of options when it comes to whole house backup generators. And again, you need to be really conscious of things like where it's going to be located on your property and noise, because they're big. These are the biggest generators that you can get for your property. Biggest of all, we're talking about the kind of generators that can output 8, 10, 15,000 watts of power, the kind of power output into your house that your house doesn't even notice it has changed over from the grid. That's the goal. So noise is an issue. Noise in terms of some of them, the quieter ones, the really good ones, are about as noisy as your air conditioner unit outside. The louder ones get louder than a, loud lawnmower or worse. So they are to be considered. And don't be fooled by the fact that they come in these really nice, beautifully, very cool-looking shrouds where you don't see the generator motor or any of the guts or anything. You just see this just nice encasement. That encasement is a weather encasement. Very rarely is it a sound baffling encasement, okay? So, again, you always got to check for sound because that's a problem. Otherwise, it is a totally viable choice for those of you who want that kind of control over your house. And you can mitigate the cost because you don't have to necessarily install a whole house backup generator that just runs everything. You don't have to go to that end. That's, of course, the dream, but you can choose to say, what I really need is I need this circuit in my house running, and I need the circuit that controls the kitchen outlets here running, and the mic. You can pare it down, and as a result, that generator will be tied into just those circuits. So you'll have certain circuits go dead during the blackout, but certain critical circuits stay on, and as a result, lower demand, smaller generator, lower cost. Okay, so that's a consideration as well. Now, we need to move into portable generators. This is the one that this is the issue that inspired this show. If you were with me at the top of the show when I said I was over at Home Depot on Tuesday during the windstorms and saw all sorts of people just pulling portable generators off the shelf. By the way, we got an interesting response from one of our listeners who works at Home Depot, who said, you know what, because we have such a killer return policy, about 80% of those just came back. They were used and they were brought back. That's not cool at all. Anyway, needless to say, yeah. So Home Depot rented a bunch of generators this last week for free to the general public. But the point was, tremendous amount of ignorance about how these things work and what to even do with them. That's where we're going when we return. So glad you joined me this morning. We'll be right back. KFI. AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You're home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Hey, welcome to our fine program. We are wading through it today. One of the trickiest topics that I have covered with you in quite a while, actually. We're talking about emergency backup power for your home, inspired by last week's windstorms and the fact that so much of Southern California lost power for an extended period of time, unexpectedly caught people kind of back on their heels and caught them off guard, a lot of emergency generator rentals, those kinds of things. And what I realized for the first time was, and I apologize for this, it's just one of the it's one of the byproducts of having been in the building industry for 35 years, is that there are still areas, as much as I try and be aware of how the layman sees us, there are still areas where the things that I take for granted that I realize, oh, the average homeowner has no idea what they're talking about or what they're doing in this area. And I just realized the panic at Home Depot that I saw on Tuesday inspired us to go into this today. And I'm trying to stay out of the weeds on it, but to a certain degree, we have to kind of just get a little bit detailed so you understand what's going on. We've talked about solar backup batteries so far. We have talked about whole house generator, you know, permanently installed whole house backup generators. Now we need to get into the portable generator conversation. And I wish I could tell you that that makes the discussion simpler, but it gets a little bit more confusing as well. Let me try and sort it out. Portable generators are just that. They're portable. Now, portable can be a bit of a deceiving term when you're buying a large, powerful generator with wheels and handles on it that weighs 150 or 200 pounds. You may take issue with the word portable if you have to lug around a 200-pound thing. But technically, of course, yeah, it's portable, meaning it isn't permanently affixed to your home. But larger generators, be aware, there's a reason. If you see on the package that they have wheels and handles, you're not going to just be picking that up with one hand, setting it on the tailgate of your pickup truck, or bringing it home and setting it up on the picnic table. They are heavy. The larger ones are heavy. Portable generators can be single fuel, and if they are, they are gasoline fueled by and large. They can be dual fuel, which means they can run on gas or propane from, you know, your barbecue propane type tanks. Or there are a few out there that are still, and this is kind of fading away fast, I think just because there isn't a huge market for it, tri-fuel generators, which are gasoline, propane, and or natural gas that you could plug into your house. Again, sound. Sound is an issue. You got to have a plan for where you're going to put a large-scale generator so that it is not going to disturb the neighbors and hit you up with a noise ordinance violation when you're running it. Now, this last week, the wind was so noisy itself that, you know, who's going to hear a 75-decibel generator running? But On non-windy power outage events, everybody's going to hear it, okay? And if you live in a condo, it's a foregone conclusion. You should not be acquiring like a 5,000-watt generator because you are going to be hated among your neighbors, all right? So the other thing you need to know about portable generators, there are two types. There is our standard generators, okay, which will be labeled on the package generator, and there are inverter generators. All right, now what's the deal with that, Dean? A standard generator is a motor that's running at about 3,600 RPMs, and it's producing power based on the revolutions of the motor itself. Standard generators produce a kind of power that is direct AC power, and because the motor has slight deviations in its RPMs, that power, if we were to look on it, on a graph or a screen or a power monitor, we would see that that power is not exactly what they call in the electrical engineering industry clean power, meaning there's a lot of harmonic distortion in that power. That means it's fine for pumping into your house to run most appliances and most things like that. But these days, sensitive electronic equipment, they're looking for what we call clean power, okay? Clean power means power that has very low harmonic distortion to it. And if that is a critical concern, then you need to be thinking about an inverter generator. An inverter generator produces clean power because it doesn't produce direct AC power, okay? What it does, it produces power in three different phases. It first produces high-frequency AC, alternating current, and then it puts that current through an inverter that converts it to direct current. Mm-hmm. Odd, yes. But then it takes that direct current power and turns it back into AC power. And why does it do that? Why does it go through three phases? Think of it as its way of running your electricity that produces through a filter. Just think of it that way. It goes from AC to DC, and then it flips it back. And as it flips it back from DC to AC, that AC is no longer coupled to the deviations in the motor, you know, the inconsistencies in the motor that's actually running the generator. And as a result, it has smoothed out the harmonic distortions in the power, and it is a great clean electric source for sensitive equipment like cell phones, computers, and the like, okay? That's as technical as I'm going to get. I could dive in deeper, but I know it doesn't matter to you, okay? So inverter generators are more expensive, as you can imagine. They tend, though, to be smaller, far more portable, true portability in the sense of you can pick it up with one hand, 35-pound generator, move it around. You can set it up on the picnic table, but they're not going to be cranking out as much power. The most powerful inverter portable generator that I know of, and I could be wrong about this, so don't quote me on it, about 4,000 watts. That's a lot of power, right? But that's not anywhere close to a 10,000-watt generator. However, it's the inverter generators that are the quiet ones, the quiet generators. And when I mean quiet, I mean down in the 50 decibel range, 50 to 60 decibel range. 50 to 60 decibels, you could have it running and have a conversation as you're standing next to it, okay? 50 to 60 decibels it's about the noise of a loud dishwasher. Not bad at all, okay? And you're not going to get to run into any trouble with neighbors or so on. Now, because they are not as powerful, they have come up with a trick, inverter generators, and that is that most inverter generators can be run in what we call parallel, which means if you buy two of them, which by the way is what Tina and I have, if we have two 2,500 inverter generators, and there's a little kit where you can link them together to create a 5,000-watt single generator with two quiet inverter generators linked together, all right? But you get the portability and the ease of use. And by the way, yes, An inverter generator is the kind of generator that is designed for RV use, you know, at the RV campsite. Because obviously you can't take a generator that's cranking out 70 plus decibels of noise when you're camping next to the next RVer who's only, you know, 15 feet away. So it's those small little quiet generators that are, you know, humming in the background that are running the RV and campsite kind of stuff. But they can be used for backup power for the house as well. Okay, that's the whole list. Now, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about how these portable generators actually get power into the house. How do we do it? The easiest explanation is, well, you set one up, you turn it on, and you run extension cords into the house. But you have another option. And for most of you, I am guessing, it's going to be the game-changing information in deciding what kind of generator system you're going to use for your house, because it's going to make life a lot easier for very little money up front. What is it? Well, we'll talk about it when we come back. You're home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI, that is bizarre. Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, welcome home. We are finishing up our conversation this morning on emergency backup power for your home. And we have reached the moment in which I'm going to hand you hopefully a pearl of wisdom and advice that you are not going to find on your generator, your local generator website necessarily, or even some DIY videos online, but this could make all the difference. Before I go there, let me finish up telling you about a couple of things in regards to fuel supply for a portable generator. I prefer dual fuel generators. They're a little more money, of course, up front, you know, dual fuel, it just gives you options. I love propane driven generators, and there's a good reason why they are so popular. And that's because even though when you run your generator on propane, it's going to have a slightly lower wattage output, okay? It's lower than when it's running on gasoline. Don't ask me why that is, because it would take too long to explain, but it's going to be slightly lower. But your generator will run longer on a propane feed. And the thing I really like is that propane can store safely at your home, inside the tanks, away in the garage, wherever, safely, and it doesn't go bad. It doesn't alter. You can have a propane canister sitting around for years unused, and you just hook it up and boom, it's ready to go. Gasoline, on the other hand, I don't ever recommend anybody just storing gallons of gasoline in their garage or on their property somewhere, because gasoline is very volatile. As you know, 1 gallon of gasoline is roughly equivalent in explosive force to a stick of dynamite. And so it's not my favorite thing to have just sitting around. Also, gasoline will separate and go bad as it sits there. Its components separate out, and so 2 years of gasoline sitting in a gas can, it's not going to be the quality of liquid fuel that you put in there 2 years ago. So what I like to do is I like to have propane canisters sitting around to run the generators. Then if for some reason I need to gas them up, I just have, you know, empty gas cans sitting around, and then I make the run down to the gas station, if gas stations are even open, because, you know, power outages affect the ability for pumps to pump fuel. Another reason to kind of lean toward the propane side of things. Anyway, the key here that I'm going to give you for your house, you don't have to, just because you go with an inexpensive portable generator, you don't have to suffer with running extension cords into the house, running an extension cord to the coffee maker, running an extension cord, pulling the refrigerator away from the wall so you can get to the cord in the back to plug it in. That's all a lot of hassle. And it's fine if you want to go through that. No big deal. Okay. but there is a slicker way that feels a little bit more like the built-in solar battery and whole house generator setup. And it's one critical component. It's called a manual transfer switch. A manual transfer switch is very simply a small box that can be installed next to your electrical panel. It can have an outlet in it for a 30-amp RV supply cord coming off of your generator. And the manual transfer switch can be pre-wired. You can have your electrician do this, and it's not very expensive. The transfer switches themselves are often less than $200. And you're going to pay a couple $100 for an electrician to get it installed. Okay? Boom. But right there, when the power goes out, you have pre-selected a few circuits, maybe let's say up to 8 or 10 circuits in your house that you want to have powered up during a power outage. The manual transfer switch is sitting there bypassing those circuits, ready to go. Power goes out, you grab your portable generator, carry it over to wherever it's going to sit, hook the cord up to it, run one cord, the large RV cord, plug it into your manual transfer switch and flip the switch. And boom, those 8 or 10 circuits are fired up. A very inexpensive thing to do ahead of time that makes the use of a portable generator pretty dang slick. So you're not pulling the fridge out from the wall. You're not doing anything inside the house. You just know which circuits are live and which are not. Whew! All right. I hope this has been helpful for you today. We have waded through a lot of technical stuff, but hopefully it's a good start for you figuring out what kind of portable backup emergency power you need for your house. I will be back again tomorrow with you. Until then, my friend, whatever your plan is for the day, be intentional, be open, be kind, get out there and get busy building yourself a beautiful life. We'll see you tomorrow.